I like that kind of singing. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn the book of Luke chapter 2 with me tonight, please. Luke 2. And verse number 10, Luke chapter number 2 and verse 10. The scripture says, "And the angel said to them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And Father, bless your holy word now. In thy name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. Great joy is possessed by very few people. The scripture says we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. But the Bible is very clear in Luke chapter number 2. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now you and I both know tonight what the world has done with the birthday of Christ. Fact is, they're trying everything they can to get Christ out of Christmas. And obviously, it's because they never had him in their heart. If you ever get him in your heart, he'll be not only in Christmas, he'll be in the following day and the day before it. He'll be in every day. But it shows you how wicked and ungodly the heart of man is to think that they're trying to get rid of Christ. He's the only good thing ever happened to this earth. He's the only real friend you ever had. And the one who came and bore your sins and died a horrible death on the cross. And you ask yourself, it begs the question, why would anyone want to get rid of him? Why? I find no fault in him. I agree with Pontius Pilate. Don't you? He examined him. He said, "I find no fault in this man. I've never found any fault in him." The fact that he was born is undeniable. The Lord Jesus came 2,000 years ago, and he's coming again. But he was here. And when he came and did something that all mankind needs to understand. It was a gift from God. We give gifts here and have been giving them, exchanging gifts, so forth. A gift is a, first of all, a gift is a mysterious thing because most of the time you don't know what the gift is or what's in it, if it's in a box or what have you. So it's a mystery involved. Therefore, it excites your curiosity to know what someone gave you. And so the truth of the matter is tonight it ought to excite your curiosity to know what God gave you. Because most people don't really understand the gift of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is man, no question about that. He's the God-man. But he's not just a human being like all the rest of us. When you hear a preacher talking like that, it's because he's never studied his Bible much. The Lord Jesus Christ unquestionably was human. He had to be to die. But the Bible says plainly that he took part of the same. And the Bible said a likeness made in the likeness of sinful flesh. And the scripture said make like unto us. And he was. But he didn't have our fallen nature. He didn't have original sin. Didn't have that. Didn't have a curse about him. Everything that he gave it freely. God gave his only begotten son. I think about the gift of God tonight and I just marvel. Then why God, this gracious, wonderful God, would be so good to give his son for a sorry, low-down dog like me? I'll never figure that one out. I'll never understand it. I'll never understand why he loves me. I don't understand it. Because as far as me is concerned, there's nothing lovable. But it's his nature. It's who he is. For God so loved the world, the Bible says in John chapter number 3. If you'd like to turn there. I learned this in school. I learned this in the public school system. They taught me this verse. It didn't hurt me. That was before the ACLU. Nobody ever heard of the ACLU in 1956. In John 3:16 it says, "For God so loved the world." I want you to notice that he gave. He gave. Nobody asked him. They didn't know what to ask for, but he gave. His only begotten Son. And I like this in verse number 16, that whosoever. I wish Calvin had read that and really took hold of it. Whosoever, not just the elect, but whosoever. What does that mean, preacher? That means the sorriest scumbag that ever lived. That means the greatest queen that ever reigned. That's the richest and the poorest, the best and the worst. For whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'll never forget our public school teachers taught us that and quoted it. We used to get up and read the Bible in school. Read the Bible and have prayer and sing Christmas carols and read Christmas stories and the things about the Bible. We had a Bible class at Rural High School. The lady's name was Hale, and she was a sweet, very sweet and precious lady. And taught us the Bible and day after day after day. It probably at the time didn't do a whole lot of good for this mean rascal, because that's what I was at the time. But some of it took root. I'll tell you what took root was her nature. She was a sweet lady. She was one fine woman. And by the nature of this woman and by the character that she had, she preached to me. She told me something. I saw something good in her, something different. Never told her, never told anybody else. But that was a gift. You see, she was giving me something that could not be bought or sold. She was giving me a witness and a testimony. And I observed it. It wasn't lost on me. And it's not lost on anyone else if they're around you. Because if you have truly received the gift, you give a gift. Freely we have received, freely we give. I've heard some foul-mouthed people and observed their foul lives, and that affects you too. But you don't forget the good ones. They stick out. Down through the years, I've known a lot of people. And this lady stands high, high, high in my estimation, because she was one precious lady. She taught Bible in the public school system at Rural High School in the 60s. And the ACLU can't do a thing about it. They can't do a thing about it. Nothing. It's sad tonight to say to you that this country has been robbed blind of its heritage. That's where we came from, folks. That's our roots. That's what we were. This at one time, I'm not saying a Christian nation, but it was founded on by many Christians on Christian principles and the things that mattered. But they don't count. They don't matter anymore. And so they walk into the schools today and they take M16s and they shoot little old children to death. That's what they're doing now. I guess the ACLU is proud of their separation of church and state. I wonder if the ACLU will post guards in all the schools in the country and protect the children. No, they won't. What they'll do is rob you of your heritage. Thank God for the generation that went before me. Thank God for them, because they gave us something. They did. They gave us something good. I feel sorry for kids. I do. Because the kids are robbed blind. Because they've never known it. They've never had it. They don't have a clue. They've never had it. And it's such a sad thing. Somebody said, well, my preacher, which God would you preach? There's only one. You said that's a dogmatic, narrow-minded statement. That's the Bible. There's just one God. Just one. Just one. It wasn't Muslims that sailed over here and started this country. No, sir. It wasn't a Muslim that did that. No, that was long before the ACLU ever showed up. So the Bible says God gave His only begotten Son. This is the gift of all gifts. When you look a gift horse in the mouth, you know the old saying, the old axiom? You don't look a gift horse in the mouth? So what does that mean, preacher? Well, it means you don't examine the gift. You receive it graciously. It may not be exactly what you want. It wouldn't be necessarily what you go out and buy. But if someone's going to give you that, you receive it graciously, not to offend the giver. Well, I'm going to challenge you tonight. I want you to look this gift horse in the mouth, the Lord Jesus, and examine Him. Check Him out. And what God did was to give you the best. He gave you the best. You can't improve upon Him. I want to ask you a serious question tonight. Those of you that have been saved any period of time, have you ever found anything wrong with him? Listen, God didn't promise you a life without suffering. He didn't promise you a life without problems. He didn't promise you a life of comfort, you know, and everything that you desire, pile it up around you. He didn't promise you that. And the truth of the matter is tonight, none of us could handle that. We have to be reminded day by day, this world is not our home. We're just passing through. We are pilgrims and strangers. Our citizenship is in heaven. Now, I could go further with that with you tonight, but I think you're smart enough to understand what I'm saying. And if I say that to you tonight, that your citizenship is where? Heaven. And that you are a pilgrim and a stranger in this world. Right? You know what that means? That means that you can take somebody from any generation, any culture, anywhere on this earth, for any time in the last 2,000 years, and you and them are brothers and sisters, regardless of what flag flew over your head or what country you lived in. You are brothers and sisters. What joins you together is Christ. That's your Lord. That's your Master. That's your God. So it's a gift. Let me ask you a question tonight. Have you received that gift? If you think that you can work for it, it's no longer a gift. If you think you can buy it, it's no longer a gift. Did you know some people are so proud they won't let you give them anything? Pride is one of the worst things in the world to keep you from receiving a gift. Now, I'm not talking about freeloaders. We have plenty of them around. You know what we used to call them back when I was a kid? Bums. I haven't heard the word bum on TV, and I don't hear much TV, but I haven't heard the word bum on TV in a long time. You might have, how many of you kids in here, less than 18 years old, what's a bum? What would you say a bum is, Samuel? What's a bum? You just won't work, not good for anything, right? A hobo. And the hobo is usually the one who hops the train, takes off down. Don't work, won't work, wouldn't work in a pie factory. Just won't work. Did you know the Apostle Paul was not very friendly with bums? You know what he said about him? He said, if you won't work, you won't eat. And everybody loves to eat. I tell you, folks, this generation, tell it like it is. No, you don't want to tell it like it is. Not the way I grew. We told it like it was. Yeah, we did. Yes, sir. Bum. I remember when I was a kid, you get mad at somebody, bum. Call them a bum. You want to make somebody mad, call them a bum. So the word bum was bummed around a lot back then. Today they are challenged. Everybody's challenged. Morally challenged, physically challenged, spiritually challenged. What does that mean? Well, that means everybody's competing together on the same level, but some people just have a little bit more need in certain areas than others. But, you know, that's just the way it is and blah, blah, no. Bum. Yeah, scumbag. Dog. Won't supply, won't work for his family, won't bring food to the table. Folks, did you know? I don't know if I'll say this or not tonight. But this is part of American history. I'm going to tell you the truth. Did you know that about 50, 60 years ago in the South, they had a bunch called the Ku Klux Klan? Yeah. Now, everybody knows what the Ku Klux Klan did to black folks. All right. And that's inexcusable. But that's history. But what most people don't know, I grew up with my grandmother and my grandfather. And my grandfather was born in 1878. Now think about that for a minute. Let your mind go back to 1878, right after the Civil War. My grandfather grew up right after the Civil War. He rubbed shoulders with Civil War veterans when he was a boy. My grandmother would get mad at him every once in a while. And they'd get into an argument. And she'd look at him and she'd say, I'll call the Klan on you. And somebody said, what do you mean? What? I thought it was all racial. No, 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 no. And I challenge you. You go check me out. They would come up to a man's house, drag him out in the front yard, and whip him in front of his wife and his children if he wouldn't work. That's a fact. They would drag him out of his house, and they would exercise justice and judgment the old-fashioned way and say, you get a job, bum, and you go to work, and you start taking care of your children. And do you know something? The next day, he was hunting for a job. That's fact. Check me out. Do you know why? Pardon? Yeah, they did. They did. I mean, I'm not up here tonight to praise the Ku Klux Klan. I mean, that's, you know, you can, that's not the point. The point is to understand culture. It's to try to lay it out for you tonight and show you how that people think differently about things than they used to. And that was part of what went on. And so while I'm on it, I might as well get on to this one. The White Caps and the Blue Bills. How many's ever heard of them? A few of you have. Back at the time of Kaz Walker, 50, 60 years ago, here in East Tennessee, they had, and I forget which group was which group, but one group was in Sevier County and the other group was in Knox County. And they started crossing over into each other's territory, doing this thing I'm talking about. Dragging people out of their house, you know, in the night, and giving them a beating because they don't take care of their families, and they started locking horns with each other, I don't know what kind of war you'd call it, but they literally had battles going on. People grew up around here with that kind of culture around them, that kind of culture. And so where are we today? We are in an entitlement generation. Nobody wants to work today. Nobody wants to feed their family, supply. Listen, man, God's given you two hands. He's given you a head. He's given you feet. And a woman's not made like a man. A man can work, and he can work hard day in and day out. A woman does that, it'll break her down. But a man has a limit that he goes to. As long as he stays within that limit, he's okay. He prospers. And God says if a man won't supply for his home, he's denied the faith and worse than an infidel. That's a witness and a testimony. That's a testimony to the world that you know the Lord Jesus Christ and you love your family and you love your Lord. Things have changed. Things have changed big time in the last 50, 60 years. And the reason they have is because people don't appreciate anything anymore. They don't appreciate it. We didn't have much at all. We never had much at all in our home. You know, a lot of people had a lot of stuff. We didn't have it. But the one thing that we had each other. And I never went hungry. I never went hungry as a child. I never went hungry. Not one time. And thank God, you know, because a lot of kids did. Didn't go hungry. But I know this. We had the very simple necessities of life. And it was clean. 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 What do you mean clean? They kept it clean. When I was a boy, I can remember as far back as I can remember. My grandmother especially used the term kyarn. How many here tonight do not know what kyarn is? All right, a few of you don't. That's okay. How many of you tonight know what kyarn is? I'm going to tell you what it is. It's not dirt. It's not a disheveled house. It's not a house that just needs to be swept, mopped, and cleaned up. Kyarn is filth. Kyarn is filth. That grows and piles up and cakes up and people are filthy themselves and they won't wash and they stink and there's everything around there. That's pure kyarn. It's like living in a pig pen. And I see these older folks smiling and nodding their head because they know exactly what I'm talking about. They know exactly what I'm talking about. Now, I don't know if the word kyarn's in the dictionary. Probably not. I'm not even sure I know how to spell it. K-U-A-R-N or something like that. Things change. Things change, don't they? So what gave these people 50, 60, 75, 100 years ago the idea, I need to work, I need to stay clean, I need to take care of my family, I need to do these. You know what did it? It was the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. It's the preaching of the Bible. It makes people free. They receive and they give. And thanks be to God for it. And I told you I went over to the Jacobs building when I was a boy like this, stood in line for hours so we could get a basket of food with my grandfather. My grandfather was born in 1878, folks. He was 70-something years old when I was born. And he took me in and raised me. And he didn't have anything, but what he had, he shared with us. So I went with him. We stood in line. We got our basket. And it was a wonderful thing. I'll never forget the fact that somebody cared enough to give us some food at Christmas time. And this was the empty stocking fund. The empty stocking fund's been around a long time. It's a new Sentinel, isn't it? Aren't they the ones who still have it, the empty stocking fund? And if you want to give something, if you don't have much money, you want to give a little something at Christmas time, put a little money in that plate. Because that money goes to feed kids. And I don't know of anything better around here, folks, than to feed some child. There's a billboard that shows up on the interstate over here every year, and there's a little girl standing there like this. That little girl. Have you seen that little girl? That little girl standing there like that. And I think it says something to the effect of, no child should have to go to bed hungry or something like that. Now, that gets me. That kind of thing, you know, I can't stand it when I think children are going to go hungry. Because God's fed me. I'm well fed. Look at me. No problem. God's been good to me. All right, what about the children? Who feeds the children? What causes a society to disintegrate and come apart at the seams? And little children with have no daddy or have no mom, and the home is busted up, and they get tossed from one place to the other. Sin does it. And it's an unthankful heart. Unthankful and unholy. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I guess I've told you this before. When I was a boy, KTL, they called it back then, the Knoxville Transit Lines, they were all the same color. I forget what was there. Something like red, orange, or something. You know what I'm talking about. You know, you go down Gay Street in Knoxville, Tennessee in the 50s. If you went to Gay Street, the street was full of people. And they had bus stops on Gay Street. And you stood at that bus stop, and the bus would come by, and they had a light. They had a sign there. Everybody knew where to go, but if you didn't, they had a sign saying, the bus stop's here for such and such a place. And so you'd stand at the bus stop. Bus come in, you get on the bus, and back then you could get a token. You could buy tokens, put the token in, they had a little thing in the machine there, you get in, you drop it into that, and pay your fare. I have seen time and time and time again the bus full of people, but a woman get on, and some man would pop up just like that and give her a seat. I never saw a woman have to stand with able-bodied men, that man would get up and let that woman have a seat. Complete stranger. What was it? Different culture. Different culture. You can thank the National Association for Women for robbing women of their femininity, for taking their femininity away from them, for taking their womanhood away from them. Because men respect women. They respect decent women. They respect clean women. They respect women that are dressed right. They respect that. God puts something in the soul of a man to where when he sees a woman like that, he wants to help her. He respects her. It's when they turn a woman into a prostitute and parade her in front of everybody. They've robbed her of her beauty. God gave a woman a beauty a man doesn't have. Amen. Here's the problem. It's got so bad today, you can't tell the men from the women. I used to be able to tell the difference. Half the time anymore, I don't know what I'm looking at. I'm telling you the truth. So why that? What happened? What happened in America? It's an insidious, wicked, godless thing that tries to make a woman look like a man and a man to look like a woman. Have you ever noticed how that all, not all, but how many so young men, young boys today, all the stuff that young men used to do they don't do anymore, and now they're becoming more feminine? Have you noticed that? There's an agenda afoot. So much has changed in my little short lifetime. So much. And I say to you tonight, folks, out of the, I'd say a rate of, put a scale of 0 to 100, or 0 to 10, let's just say 0 to 10, most of what has happened has been for the worse. Some things are better, yes. Most of it is for the worse. Homes were so much stronger then. So much stronger. So much stronger. Norman Rockwell, famous painter back in the 50s and 60s and 70s. You've seen his work. The famous Thanksgiving where they're lined up at the table. They've got the big turkey and they've got this big smile on their face. They come together as a family. They sit down at the table. They eat the turkey, you know, and thank God. They bow their head. They pray. Little vignettes, all kinds of little different pictures he gives you of life in the United States as it was 50, 60 years ago, these things. Well, you don't see that anymore. You don't see that anymore. Just yesterday or the day before, a nun was raped and beaten in one of the big cities in America. A nun was raped and beaten. I'll tell you what happened about 30 years ago. A couple of nuns were raped and beaten in America about 30 years ago, 40 years ago. It's been some time. A couple of nuns now, we talk about Roman Catholic nuns, were raped and beaten. Do you know what happened? The local mafia boss put out a hit on the scum that raped those nuns. He put out a hit on them. He said, "I want them swimming with the fishes." Concrete, down they go. Do you know what they did? They ran to the police and turned themselves in, knowing what they would have to face. But they had rather face the police and the courts than to face the mafia. That's a fact. That happened. How many's ever heard that before? Most of you haven't. You know why you don't hear it? Because it doesn't fit the news media's agenda. Big change in America, folks. Big change. They never locked their homes when in 1956, nobody locked their house. I was 10 years old in 1956, nobody locked their house. Tonight, when you go to bed, lock your door and lay Mr. Smith and Mr. Wesson or Mr. Ruger, Mr. Winchester, Mr. Remington, whoever you choose, have him around there. Amen. When I was a kid, nobody locked the church doors. You could go into a church house anytime you wanted to, 24/7, go in there and pray. It was open. Come in and pray. You never heard about somebody robbing a church. Didn't happen. Didn't happen. You ought to say to yourself tonight, what's happened? What has changed in our country so bad? Who's to blame for this? Well, I'll tell you right now, you can start looking with the progressive liberals, the gun control crowd. You know the one who ran for president and said they've got their guns and their gods and this and that and so forth and so on? I'm guilty. He said that in Pennsylvania. You better believe it. I am guilty. I've got my Lord God and whatever else is necessary. Amen. So what do you do? I'm thankful tonight. I am so thankful because I could be sleeping in the bridges. I wouldn't be sleeping under the bridges. I'd be in hell. If God hadn't come to me in 1973, I'd be in hell right now. I'd be in hell screaming, burning. But God came to me. He came to me not because I deserved it, because He's a good God. That gift He gave to me too. I wish I could talk to that wino tonight, or the drug addict tonight, or the prostitute walking the street tonight, or the pimp that's selling her, or the politician who sold out long ago, or whoever, whatever. Somehow or another get the message over to them. You're on the road to destruction, but God put a way for you to escape it. And the way is Christ. It's Jesus. He's the gift of God. Now, have you received that gift? Have you received it? Well, you say, preacher, my church is going to keep me safe. No, your church is not going to keep you safe. Well, my church is going to take care of me. As long as I'm faithful to my church, I'll be all right. No, you won't. Salvation isn't a person. It's not in a church. Salvation is a person. And if you receive that person, you receive salvation. If you reject that person, you reject salvation. Therefore, if you receive that person, you receive the gift of God. The Bible said, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So 2,000 years ago, when the Lord Jesus showed up, it was God's gift. It was His gift to mankind. Isn't that wonderful? He gave. He gave. In Matthew chapter number 10 and verse number 8, the white caps and the blue bills. Is that what it was? Brother Caldwell, is that it? Blue bills? White caps and blue bills. Check that out when you get home. Matthew 10:8. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Now, if I get up here in front of you and give out a bunch of rhetoric, a bunch of high-sounding Christian cliches, a bunch of empty nothings, and just constantly sweet-talk you, but my life doesn't bear witness to it, I offend you. Here's why I offend you. Because I'm showing no respect for you. When somebody hands you a bunch of verbal garbage, but their life does not back it up, they're not respecting you. That's a disrespect. They're saying you're a fool. They're saying that you judge entirely by the outward appearance and that you have no concept whatsoever of real truth and the reality of it. And when I told you this morning that a third of the clergy in America are guilty of extramarital affairs on their wives, a third, 30%, 33 if you go the full 100, 33-point-something% are guilty of extramarital affairs. Now tell me what kind of service, what kind of ministry goes on in a church like that? And you two and I both know tonight that some of the biggest churches in this country, their pastors are sitting in jail right now. Right now, they're sitting in prison. Not just one, a number of them. Youth directors, the whole list runs the gamut. Why? What kind of spirit comes into a church that causes people to think that they can do that and get away with it? How blinded does a man have to be before he thinks that God is no longer watching what he does and will bring him into judgment? When 40%, I think is the figure, of all the men going to church right now in America admit that they are watching or have watched pornography. 40%. How about Temple Baptist Church? You reckon the figure would be 40% here? Imagine, 40%. And of course, if I were a wife, first thing I'd think is, well, I wonder if my husband's one of the 40. And I don't know of anything probably that would enrage a wife any more than to think that her husband is sitting there on a computer screen or whatever venue he uses to view pornography. Pornography will destroy your soul. It'll destroy it. It'll destroy it. Pornography will destroy it. And pornography now is pervaded through the internet, folks. And being on the internet, it's raw. Everything, anything is there. The senator from Tennessee, Lamar Alexander, one of his aides, has been accused now of child pornography. I don't know what the circumstances involved. If it was on a computer, if it was a videos he had or what, but he is being accused of being involved in child pornography. Now, it's embarrassing to the senator. I understand. You know, it's a very embarrassing thing. But here's the thing, folks. Judges, lawyers, doctors, politicians, the biggest names in this country that you don't even know about are sitting in front of screens and frequenting prostitutes. And they are the people who are running this nation. It's bad. real bad. Real bad. Do you know what you have to do when you live in a generation like we're living in, the time 2013, about ready to go into 2014? You know what you do when you live in a generation like this? You stand for the truth of the Word of God against the tide. Do not seek approval or acceptance from this world. Seek only to please the Lord Jesus Christ. God will bless you and your family in spite of and in the midst of this horrible sewer that we live in. That's called American culture. Now, American's not unique to it. It's all over the world. It's all over the world. One of the reasons that culture is so bad in this country is because we've got so much money and they're able to do so much. But stand against it. Every man ministers to his own generation. I minister to you. If I had lived 150 years ago, I would be preaching the same Christ, but the ministry might be a little bit different. I minister to you in 2013. I minister to this generation. If the Lord doesn't come back in 50 years, a preacher will rise up that ministers to that generation. I have to minister to you. If I'd been talking to people 150 years ago about the internet and about television, they'd looked at me like, well, what are you talking about? So I have to deal with what's going on today, the world that you live in, the world you live in. I remember when the internet started. I remember when it first started. I was there typing using DOS before Windows ever showed up on a computer. Now, how many of you in here this morning know what DOS is? All right. Most of the kids today don't have a clue what DOS is. All they've ever known is Windows or Mac operating system. But DOS is Bill Gates' disk operating system that was all command line operated. And from a command line, you told exactly what you wanted to do, so forth and so on. I've forgotten most of what I ever knew back then, but that's the way it worked. And when the internet first came out in this country, in Knoxville, Tennessee, you could only get on for just a few minutes. It was so expensive. You couldn't get on there and sit all 24/7. And when it first came on, it was mostly what you could get from universities and institutions and stuff like that with the information they had posted on the internet. And then they had boards begin to spring up where you could get on a certain board and people would share information, Christians and so forth and so on. Then all of a sudden it began to grow and exploded into what you see now. It hadn't always been that way. But when it did, the devils immediately seized it, saw their opportunity, and filled it full of filth. So high technology doesn't do anything to change human nature. They just accommodate it and use it for their filth. Technology is not going to save you. It's not going to change you. The only thing it'll change is to receive the gift. Have you received the gift? The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Isn't that a wonderful thing? I have received and I give. What do I have to give you? I'm 67 years old. I was born 1946, September the 17th, 1946. How much time do I have left on this earth? I don't know how much time I've got left. I don't know, but I want you to know something tonight. What I am before you and the way I live my life in front of you is far more important to me than anything else on this earth. Because when I'm gone from this earth and I'm no longer here, I want you to at least be able to look back to who I am in your mind. I'll either leave a good taste or a bad taste. You'll either say he was real or he was a fake. One or the other. I've known a lot of people in my lifetime. I've known a lot of people that have gone on to be with the Lord. And a lot of those people bring to my heart joy and cheerfulness when I remember who they were and how they lived and what it did to help me and inspire me. But I've known a lot of them that I wouldn't give you a second thought about. And yet they profess to know Christ. Yet their profession was as shallow as it could be because it was all empty words coming out of their mouth. There was no substance to it. I would tonight that you take to heart what I'm talking about. If you profess to know the Lord Jesus Christ with all of my heart, I pray that you have substance to what you say. There's 168 hours in a week. Is that right? 24 times 7? That's 168 hours, if I added it up correctly. 168 hours in a week. How many hours would you give him? Out of 168. You can't get some folks to give him any. They won't give him any. Some will give him one. Some will give him two. Some will give him three, four, five on Sunday, a couple on Wednesday, and then all during the week, they're constantly going back to him, back to him, back to him, in their prayer closet with their Bible. Let me say this to you tonight, and I'll close with this. If you don't have a regular Bible reading schedule and a regular prayer room schedule, however, room, hole, whatever you want to call it, if you don't have that, you need that.
Amen.
That will give substance to your faith. You need to read that Bible, and you need to pray. And if you haven't been doing that, I want to encourage you again tonight to start praying and reading your Bible. I plead with you to do that. We have people coming into this church right now that are in desperate need. People need to pray for them. You should have been encouraged today to see where God has answered prayer. We had a lady meet us at the door on the way in this morning and said, "Let me tell you about Bo. She has made a complete turnaround." Is that right? Jim Hauser. Said what now? She wants cornbread and beans for supper. Now, let me ask you a question tonight. Okay? That all changed inside Bo. Just a few days ago, she was dying. Now, all of a sudden, that's all changed. What changed that? What changed that? God did. Did He do it in answer to prayer? Yes. Yes. We have other people in this church that are in desperate need of prayer. Desperate need. And the doctors are doing what the doctors can do. Thank God for the good doctors. But the doctor's just the doctor. Keep praying. If Satan can stop you from praying, then you're no longer on the battle line. You're no longer in the front lines. You're no longer in the battle. And you're no longer up there where you can intercede and help somebody. Keep praying. God answers prayer. He answers prayer. Don't give up. Don't quit. God was good to me. He's been good to me. He's been real good to me. I got no complaints. I got no complaints. He's been good to me. I know whom I have believed. I'm persuaded He's able to keep that which I've committed to Him against that day. I know where I'm going when I leave this world. If you didn't hear what Brother Rouillet said this morning, I think that was in Sunday school. This man worked in a morgue. He worked in a morgue. He had said some funny things. I mean, he was talking about how he was sitting in the morgue and was supposed to be quiet. How many of you agree with that? A morgue should be the quietest place on earth. And then he said one time he was in there, heard somebody moaning. Come to find out, a body was covered that was pronounced dead that was not dead. There was a living individual in there. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. The patrolman from North Carolina, I think it was. Pronounced dead. The good doctor does what the good doctor can do. We're not here to condemn doctors. But this man was alive. Now, he said in the occasion, "Brother, why don't you say it? Would you tell them? I want people to hear that." Because a lot of people didn't hear what you said in Sunday school about the man who left his body And he saw them bring that gurney or that stretcher or whatever that was through the elevator. No way.
No way.
So he had left his body.
He had already left his body long before we got
there. He left his body. And he saw all the way at the end of the hall, around the corner, he saw them taking a cart out of the elevator.
It got jammed in there.
He saw it, and there's no way in the world he could have known that. I wouldn't forget it either. A lot of them didn't want to come back. That's right. Yeah. Yes, but they were Christians. That's good. That's good. That's good. Because you were looking at it strictly from a secular point of view. That makes it even better, the stronger testimony. Because you, all you were doing is reporting facts as you saw them. There's no way. There's no way. So how does the atheist explain that? The agnostic and the atheist, they have no explanation for that. They have no explanation for it. Immediately. Yeah. And the spirit is the person. The person leaves that body. Yes. So, thanks be unto God for the truth and for His unspeakable gift, the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you ready? Are you ready for Him to come? Are you ready to leave this world? Are you ready to leave the body? You don't know when it's going to happen, folks. Just pray that you're ready. That's all I can say. I pray you're ready. I've heard this all my... Yeah, but the point is that the time will come when it's your time. It's your time. And when that time comes, I pray you're ready. Yes, ma'am. A 21-year-old son got hit and killed this weekend. A fellow you work with. No, you don't. No, you can be healthy as a horse, strong as a bull, and then dead in 5 minutes. You sure can. About the article that I haven't talked about. very sad. Very sad. Don't put your hope in this world, folks. Don't put your hope in this world. Yes, ma'am. At Fort Campbell, right?
Yes.
Isn't that up in Kentucky? You've got the Bible and the Holy Spirit. You've got a promise. You know where they are. You know you're going to see them again. There's comfort in that. There's no comfort in this world, and there can be no trust put in this world. You can't trust its life, because this world's life can end just like that. All right. Yes, sir. Tear them apart. It's designed to do that. They tear the family apart and destroy the younger generation. Destroy it. Yes, sir. Well, you bring that up. I read an article on that one time. You saw nobody smile in the 1800s and the early 1900s. There was a time when things changed, and I forget why that changed, but there's something that happened to cause that to happen. In other words, there was a movement afoot that changed people about that, and where they wanted them to smile when they took a photograph. And it's not that they're unhappy. No. No. It's the idea that they put on when you smile, the idea is, well, you know, I'm smiling, but I may be hurting. But I'm smiling because I want to project this image. Everything becomes an image then. It's not necessarily the real person. It's what they want people to see. And that's what's happening. And now they've got this thing up in front of them, and they call it a selfie now, don't they? I've noticed that last few days I've seen that word. That's another word. That's a new word. That's a, for this generation, selfie, when you take your own picture. Horrible, wasn't it? That's what partial birth abortion is about. That's right, as a human being. No memorial service, no headstone, no name, nothing. Just a piece of meat that gets incinerated. Well, what they did after World War II, they took the Nazi high command at Nuremberg and they held trials and they executed them as war criminals. And I'm afraid we've had an awful lot of people in this country that don't have to give an account for innocent blood. It is horrible. It's horrible. It's horrible. It's horrible. Yes, sir. Wife in prayer. I had a brother mention to him this morning about his wife, and he's not here tonight, but God knows who it is, and pray for her. All right. I'm done tonight, folks. I'm done. I hope I said something tonight that's useful and worthwhile. He got the message over. The only hope we have is even so come, Lord Jesus. If we could change this place, we would in a heartbeat. Father, in thy name we pray that you'd use what's been said tonight for the glory of God. Glorify thyself, Lord. Give us light. Give us the grace of God to walk in it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Would you come on up here, Sister Von Mann? Pardon? No. I'm just going to have her come up and we'll pray. Anybody like to come up here and pray with her? And we'll pray. She wants to be anointed with oil.